Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is well. Hopefully, we'll have better luck with the Zoom this morning than we had Tuesday night. But Be'ezras Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, this should be our last Zoom shir. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, the plan is to go back next Sunday in person, back to the Young Israel, the way it used to be, with interactions in physical, in the real world, not through cameras and Zoom and devices. So we'll just have to get through one more, and Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, the plan is next Sunday morning, and from then on, all the other shurim, except for maybe the Parsha Shir, we will be back in live, in person, so we can interact with each other and continue to grow in person. Again, this was a difficult time for all of us, but Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us the technology, he sent us the availability to be able to continue our learning despite our distance and despite the different elements that we had. But Baruch Hashem, I think Shehechiyanu v'Kiyumanu, we're ready to return, and safely return, of course, and come back to in-person learning. Just two quick thoughts on the parasha, and we'll really pick up the sugya, is that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an unbelievable thought in this week's parasha, which really sums up how accurate he was with people, which is why you understand why he was such a pikeach and such a baleitz, and why he had such success in giving and advising people. He points out that the Torah tells us in this week's parasha about the misoinim, the complainers. Klal Yisrael complains, and the Torah lays out what their complaint was. The Torah says their complaint was over their dietary menu. They were unhappy with the food, the chanu es adogo. They remember the good old days when they had fish, and they had onions, and they had all these other things, and they're basically sick of the man. And then the pasuk tells us that the Jewish people were boicha l'mishpachay, so they were crying. Rashi says they were crying over their arayis. So if Yaakov and many others asked Kash, the Chassam Sofer and others asked, well, what was their issue? Were they upset over the arayis, or were they upset over the dietary laws? So if Yaakov says that so powerful, he says in life sometimes something is bothering us, something is simmering inside us, and we don't perhaps have the right words or even know how to express it. And instead something else comes out. But that's not really what's bothering us. But we just say that either to appease the person who's asking us, or because we maybe think that's what's bothering us. But there's another thing that's really bothering us. And therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, Avadu, what was really bothering them was the arayis. But they didn't say that. They gave some other excuse. Oh yeah, we're upset about this, that, and the other. And it's so true, because in life, especially in spousal relationships, you'll see this, that your spouse is upset, and you'll ask why, and they'll give you a reason, and that's not the real reason. It's not because, you know, this, that, and the other. It's really something much deeper. And often our job as spouses is to dig and figure out what exactly is really bothering them. So you'll ask, so why do you tell me the truth? The answer, sometimes they don't even know the truth themselves. They can't articulate it into words. They can't put it into the words. They don't know how to say it. And therefore they give you something which is not necessarily what's really going on. It's very true with spouses. It's very true with children. Children often have a very difficult time expressing themselves with their emotions. So they'll just say something. You know, what's going on? Oh, yeah, my Rebbe yelled at me. No, he got in a fight with a kid in school today. That's what really happened. But the kid's not going to say that. So yeah, sometimes you have to dig deep in relationships to figure out what exactly the person is saying. And that's an extremely powerful lesson from last expression. One more var, which I heard from Rebbe from Goldberg. He quoted from somebody. I forgot who already. But it's such a beautiful var at the time we're holding right now. We're holding right now at a time where we're basically trying to transition back to a normal life after Corona. We're trying our best, those that are vaccinated, those that are, you know, healthy. We're trying to get back to a world that used to be. And he writes that the Pasuk says, in Perichas, Pasuk Yitetz, I believe, it says, V'lo yeh negef b'geshes b'nei Yisrael el ha-kodesh. And he quoted a pshat that the Pasuk reads like this, V'lo yeh negef, Hashem should not need to send another plague, b'geshes b'nei Yisrael, to cause Klal Yisrael to come close, el ha-kodesh to Hashem. We all know that we behave very differently when things are chaotic. We know when things are very nervous, when things are upside down, when the world is illogical to us, we act differently, right? We know that when there were rockets flying in Eretz Yisrael, we daven differently. We learn differently. We know that during COVID, we acted differently. We know that when there's tragedy, we act differently. So the Pasuk is saying, that Hashem is saying, don't make it that you only come close to me when there's a tragedy. Don't make it that you're only going to connect to me, you're only going to want to be closer to me when there's a tragedy. And I'll add, this is so true when it comes to Klal Yisrael unity. We always find that Klal Yisrael somehow finds a way to unify only when they're suffering. As long as everything is going okay, then we're going to fight, and we're going to bicker, and we're going to disagree to the umpteenth degree. But when there's a tragedy, all that gets pushed aside, and we all come together, which is beautiful. I'm not belittling that. I just want it to be that we can push all that stuff aside when there's no tragedy. And that's what I've mentioned many times from my Rebbe, Kalman Epstein, always pointed out, that by Shavuos, It says Ke'isha Chod Belevichod, and he asked the Kasha, and this was the first time that Klai Yisrael ever got unified. So he said, no, Avada, there were other times that they were unified. But this was the first time Klai Yisrael unified when there was no oppression. There was no one chasing after them. There was no tzara. There was no tragedy. Hashem wants to see that we can get together and amidst calm times. The fact that we get together when there's a tragedy and 45 Yidden are killed, or other Yidden are in pain, or there are rockets flying, of course we get together, and we should continue to get together. And that's something very special about Klal Yisrael. But we gotta up it up on one level that we'll get together even when there's no tragedy. When life is calm, and there's no fire, and there's no tragedy, and just let's just put our differences aside just for the sake of differences. And then we can see unbelievable Yeshuas. I think it's such a powerful pasuk where we hold right now at the time where we're trying to transition back to normal life. Let's just not forget all that we learned over the last year and a half about camaraderie, you know, achdus. You know, obviously we you know, someone gave a whole shiur about the outdoor minyanim, and he made an observation that one of the nice things about outdoor minyanim is we got to meet some of our neighbors, which is true. You got to meet new people on the block and new people around the corner from you. But we got to transition back to the way things used to be. But we can't forget that that the only way we come close to Hashem, or for that matter to each other, should not be through a negev. We should be able to come closer to Hashem amidst the good times, amidst the calmness of life, and definitely not amidst any form of tragedy. Okay. Our learning should be this chos b'fuah shleim v'chaim Yeshua ben Hendel, b'soich shar chal Yisrael, as well as David, are you on? David is not on. Okay, I feel bad, I don't remember the name. But as well as those who need Refuah Shalemas. Okay, Rabbi, so we're holding over here. We're in the middle of the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to figure out, what would there be a practical nafkamina between a case of a woman who you're not allowed to marry and a woman you're not allowed to be married to? Meaning, a woman I'm not even able to make Kiddushin to versus a woman that I can't stay married to. So the Gemara says the difference would be Almon L'Kohen Gadol. Why? Because Almon L'Kohen Gadol, even though the Torah says you're not supposed to marry her, but we learned that the children are not Mamzerim. And if the children are not Mamzerim, we know the Kedushin goes through. That's what we left off last week. But the Gemara has a kash over here. In fact, the Gemara kash, Ul Reb Yishevav, but according to Reb Yishevav, the Amma who said, Ba'u v'netzaveyach al Akiva ben Yosef, he would scream on Akiva ben Yosef, on Rabbi Akiva. Why? Why was he so upset about Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara, Shahaya Oimer, because Rabbi Akiva used to say, Kol she'en labia b'Yisrael av la'mamzer. Rabbi Akiva had a statement that any time two people live together and that relationship, that intercourse was not justified, the v'lad l'mamzer. So that would obviously broaden the horizon of people that are a mamzer. Meaning it doesn't depend on what the level of the crime is. It's just as long as there's two people, she'en lo bi b'Yisrael, they're not allowed to live together, such as, let's say, Almon l'Kohen Gadol. Almon l'Kohen Gadol, they're not allowed to live together. So then the Vlad Zemamzer. So 1 second, if that's what Rabbi Akiva says, so then even Almon l'Kohen Gadol, the Vlad should also be a Mamzer. Almon l'Kohen Gadol is not a bi b'Yisrael. That's not a sanctioned relationship in Klal Yisrael. For Frekti Gemara, according to Rabbi Yishevav, even according to Rabbi Akiva, Almon l'Kohen Gadol would not be a permitted relationship. So therefore, if it would not be a permitted relationship, it would be a vla would be a mamzer. So if the vla would be a mamzer, then the kedushin is not taifis. So if the kedushin is not taifis, it's no longer our nafkamina. So the Gemara says, I have another nafkamina. Says the Gemara, I have another difference. What happens if you have a case where the isser to live with this person is not a lav in the Torah? Right? We know the Torah sometimes says don't do something, and then sometimes the Torah says to do something. And from that, it's called mechlal lav ato shemeihen. Let's say, for example, the Torah said by a mitzri that you're not allowed to marry a mitzri until the third generation. So we learned that until the third generation, living with a mitzri would be a violation of an aseh. You're going against the Torah, because the Torah said you can live with a mitzri in the third generation. So we derived that up till the third generation, you can't live with a mitzri. So says the Gemara, what would happen if a guy walks over to a mitzri girl? Again, her mother was a mitzri. Her mother was Megayer, okay? So her mother's generation number one. Her daughter is generation number two. She's not permitted to marry into Klal Yisrael. You go over to that girl and you're Ma'aniser. You rape her or you're Mafat to her. Do you have to pay her Knas? So are you able to marry this girl? The answer is no, because she's a Chai Ve'aseh. I'm not allowed to marry Mitzvi Darsheni. So the Gemara thinks that that would be a Nafkamina. Why? Because even though it's considered a not a legitimate Bia B'Yisrael, but since it's only an aseh, it's not a lav, the kedushin would be taifis. So the kedushin would go through, but we would not allow you to stay married to her. So that would be a nafkamina, whether or not you'd have kanas in that case. If it's all about getting married, you'd be able to marry such a woman. If it's about staying married, you would not be able to stay married to such a woman. So that would be a beautiful nafkamina. So it says the Gemara, we found the nafkamina would be a case of a mitzvah va'adoimi. Let's just see Rashi number 2 very quickly. Zag Rashi. What does it mean, mitzvah adoimi? Besorich shloisha doiris. Within the first 3 generations. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, dor shlishi yavoi lahem. The 3rd generation, you're allowed to marry a mitzvi. So let's say, for example, Hagar, right? So Hagar was a 1st generation mitzvi. So she became Jewish. So her daughter is 2nd generation. And her daughter will be 3rd generation. So that, you're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but not the 1st generation. Not the first 3. The lav habo mechlal ase. And over here it's from the lav we hear an ase. The Torah says, dor shlishi yovel lehem, dor sheni lo yoy. You're allowed to marry the 3rd generation, you're not allowed to marry the 2nd one. So over here, the way the Torah structured it as an ase. So if you go, and if you were to marry a mitzvah on the 2nd generation, you're not over a lav, you're over an abitl ase. The Torah says, marry her only the 3rd generation, and you married her in the 2nd generation. So the Gemara thinks this is a beautiful nafkamina. Why would this be a nice nafkamina? Because let's say, for example, your ma'an is a mitzvi on the 2nd generation. So if it's about getting married, you technically would be able to marry a mitzvi darshani. I thought Rabbi Akiva said, kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael. So the answer is, yeah, that means anytime you can't have bia from a lav standpoint. That's it. The Torah says, don't live with this woman. The Torah is not so strong like that by a mitzvi. So therefore the kedushin would be chal. However, if it's about actually staying married to this woman, you can't stay married to a mitzvah, even 2nd generation. So therefore, you would not have to pay the knas. So the Gemara rejects this very quickly. The Gemara says, not so fast. Ha-nicha, that's only good. The Rebbe Yeshevov. If you learn the Rebbe Yeshevov, ilafuke mitamad Reb Simoy kasi. If you learn that Rebbe Yeshevov was coming to disagree with Reb Simoy. What was Reb Simoy? Reb Simoy told us that Reb Akiva holds all Chavi Lavin are Mamzerim, except for Amon Lekayin Gadol. Then Reb Yeshevov comes in, Reb Yeshevov says, no, not true. Even Amon Lekayin Gadol is not so. Then you'll say, well, yeah, Amon Lekayin Gadol is not so, but Mitzvah Adoimi is okay. Ele'i Mitayma Denav Sheikama, but if you learn that Reb Simoy was his own pshat in Reb Akiva, that he understood that according to Reb Akiva, every time there is an illicit relationship to Vlad Mamzer, so then, so that would be the case. So if Reb Simoy is coming in on his own and saying a new pshat in Reb Akiva, and he's interpreting Reb Akiva that Reb Akiva means whenever two people are not allowed to live together, the vlad is automatically a mamzer. So then a mitzvah should be the same thing. A mitzvah should also create a mamzerus. Meaning bishlama, if Reb Yeshiva was only talking to Reb Simoy. Reb Simoy walked in and Reb Simoy said that Reb Akiva is the most extreme person. He says everything's a mamzer except for Amon Lekayin Gadol. On that, Reb Yeshevov comes in and says, no, I disagree. I think that not everyone, but I think Amon Lekayin Gadol is also a mamzer. But I agree there are certain cases that are not a mamzer, which is mitzri. But if you learn that Reb Yeshevov was coming in saying that no, Reb Akiva is the most machmedika person in the world. He holds everything and everyone whenever there is an illicit relationship with Laza Mamzer. So that should lead us to believe that even Mitzri second generation should also be a Mamzer. So if Mitzri second generation should also be a Mamzer, so whenever there's a Mamzer, there's no Kedushin, so then that's no longer a nafkamina. So we're back to square one. So the Gemara says no. Says the Gemara, might be now you have another nafkamina. So the Gemara, ikebe nayu bu'ulo likoyin gadol. And no nafkamina. Not a mitzvah v'adoimi, but a bu'ula to a kohen gadol. We know the halach is that a kohen gadol has to marry only a besula. He's not allowed to marry a bu'ula. So what would happen if a kohen gadol goes over to a girl who's a very unique girl? She's a bu'ula. She was already lived with a man, but she's still single. She can't be married. But she also has to have her besulim fully intact. Because we know you don't get knas money if you don't have besulim anymore. So the Gemara says that would be a nafkamina. So you have a girl who the Kohen Gadol goes over to her, and he's ma'aneser, but she's already not a besula. So therefore what? That's the nafkamina. Why is that not the nafkamina? Because if it's about being married, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to a besula. So to a non-besula. So he would not have to pay the knas. But if it's about actual marriage being valid, the marriage would be valid. Frakti Gemara, why would the marriage be valid? Umayshna, why is it any different? If you're telling me now that Rabbi Akiva holds all types of Isurim prevent the marriage from going through, so why does this not prevent the marriage from going through? So the Gemara gives us a very important answer. The Gemara says, Because there's something different about this assay than all other assays in the world. Why? This assay does not apply to the whole world. The Kohen Gadol is the only man in the world that's not allowed to marry a Be'ula. Every other person is allowed to marry a Be'ula. A Kohen is allowed to marry a Be'ula. Everyone else can marry a Be'ula. There's only one person in the world that has this limitation of a Be'ula. Who's that? And that's the Kohen Gadol. And therefore the Gemara thinks that since this is such a unique Isser that's only for the Kohen Gadol, it does not carry the same stringencies as the other ones, and therefore the Kedushin would be valid. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, so what's very important for us to discuss today is, first of all, this concept of Be'ula LeKohen Gadol. How exactly are we going to structure the case where the Kohen Gadol was ma'anis a girl who's a Be'ula and is still subjected to the rules of Knas? Because we always assume that if she's a Be'ula, Be'ula means she's no longer a Be'ula. So if she's no longer Be'ula, then she should get no Knas, because Knossos was designated for women that are Be'ulas. So we're going to have to get into all the nitty-gritty in a few minutes. But let's just see some Rashis first. So Rashi, number two. Hanicha, it makes sense. E Reb Yesheva of High Kol She'in La Heta Biya Dekomar. Alib Der Akiva. If when Reb Yesheva made this comment, that whenever there's no Heta Biya, according to Akiva, Lav Kolole Kayol, it wasn't a general rule. Elafuk Imid Reb Simoi Luchudeyos, he was just coming to disprove Reb Simoi. V'achave Lavin Udepligi. And they were only arguing about Chave Lavin. La Sufe to include Chave Lavin Mekuhuna. Avol Shum Chave Esei Lehoisif, but he was never talking about Chave Esei Shapin. Then everything's very good. Why? Matzina Lamema, we could say Ikebe Narod the Shimon Atemoni, Reb Shimon Menase, Chave Esei. The Nafkamin would be Chave Esei, because that they never were discussing. The Machlok between Reb Sheva and Reb Simoi was only about Chave Lavin by the Kohen Gadol. Ela Ilav Ad Reb Simoi Koi, but if you learn that Reb Sheva was not talking on the comment of Reb Simoi, the Tamid in Avsheka, Amar B'Shem Reb Akiva, who was saying his own interpretation of Reb Akiva, Shekol Shein Lehetter Bia B'Isha Zuav La'mamza, Ma'ikil L'meima, what are you going to say? So this is Zot Rashi, Be'ulu L'Kohen Gadol. Zot Rashi, what's special about Be'ulu L'Kohen Gadol? She'ein bo lav. There's no lav by Be'ulu L'Kohen Gadol. Meaning if a Kohen Gadol lives with a Be'ulu, he did not violate any lav in the Torah. Fine. She'ein bo lav da almonus v'gerushin ela aseh. There's no lav like by a grusha, but there's just a positive commandment, the besula yikach, that you should take a besula, v'loy bula, not a bula. So again, according to the Gemara, when a Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol were to take a besula for a wife, he violated not a lav, he violated an assay. Okay. Now, frek the Gemara, frek Rashi, a very important kasha, which we'll believe have to come back to more in a few minutes, v'im toimar, yesh kan lav dezayna. Frek Rashi, 1 second. You're trying to set up the situation that when the Kohen lives with this girl, he's not getting himself involved in any lavin. Why? Because she's only it's a Be'ula. Be'ula is only an Asay. Frank Rashi, what are you talking about? There's a lav in the Torah called Zayna. What's a Zayna? Presumably a Zayna is any girl, woman, that had relationship not in the context of marriage. Even if it's not necessarily like an Eishes Ish, but if a woman had relations with a man not in the context of marriage, that creates a Zayna. So, Frank Rashi, this girl has to be a Zayna. V'im Toyma Yesh Kan Lav De Zayna. This girl, you told me she's a Be'ula. That means she lived with someone. A girl who lives with someone other than a husband automatically becomes a Zayna. We think of Zayna as a woman who's Mufkeres Atzmei L'Znus. We think of Zayna as a prostitute. She sells herself as Znus. That's not the way the Torah defines a Zayna. A Zayna is any woman who lives with anyone that she was not in the confines of a marriage. So therefore, again, there's more to this, but that's just the basic terminology. So for Rashi, this girl that the Kohen Gadol lived with is a Be'ula. By definition, she had to have lived with someone before. So she became a Zayna. So now when the Kohen has to ask himself, what's his relationship with this woman? It's not just, oh, she's a Be'ula. No, she's a Zayna. The Zayna has a lav. So for Rashi, why are you making it sound like it's only a question of Asei? It's a Shaila of a lav also. So Rashi answers, no, not a kashin. So Rashi, loy ashkechon tona de omer pnuya bala pnuya so zayno el rebelozer. So Rashi, that's nishkin kasha, because this girl was a single girl, she lived with a boy. Good, that's how she became a Be'ula. That's what we call a pnuya bala pnuya. Two single people, which sadly happens sometimes. Two single people live together. No one's married. No one's be'isser. And putting aside nida for a second. Therefore, Zog Rashi, we hold that pnuya bala pnuya, two single people live together, does not produce a zayno. That's only Rabbi Eliezer. But let's Hilchos HaKavva say, we don't pass him like him. Ve'ein zoin ela hanivel is a posala. We hold that the only way you produce a zoin is if you live with someone you're not allowed to live with. But let's say, for example, you have a nice boy. Let's say, for example, to make things simple. Let's say you have a woman who's divorced. And you have a man, and the woman goes to mikvah. She's not a nida, but he's divorced, and she's divorced, and they don't want to get married. They just want to have a good time together. So according to this, she doesn't become a zayna. Meaning, let's say she then decides she wants to live with a kohen. She wants to marry a kohen. Would she be considered a zayna? So according to this, she's not a zayna. Because she's just a panah balei penuyah. But if she would live with someone she's not allowed to live with, then she'd become a zayna. So therefore, Zag Rashi, no, it's not a kasha. This woman is not pegged a zayna because she was a panah balei penuyah. Fine. Then Rashi has a much bigger problem. For Rashi, the kasha that Seth asked us last week, how can you be a ba'ula and still get knas? Ba'ula means you're not a psula. If you're not a psula, you don't get knas. So Rashi comes up with the chabzag Rashi, ba'ula sholei kedarka airi. We're talking about a case where the relationship that this woman had before she met up with the Kohen Gadol was she had bia sholei kedarka, which means her besulim are still intact, but she has a title of a ba'ula. Therefore, Zag Rashi, that's how you have the case. So according to Rashi, the case is that you have a girl who is now single. She was once with a man before. She was with the man only in a shaloi kedarka manner. She lived with the man not in a way that the besulim are affected. And therefore, that's why she's shaykh to be a she's still eligible for knas, even though she's called a ba'ula. That's the case of the Gemara. Now, do we know who was she with the first time? We have no idea who that person was. But in that, we'll talk about it later in today's shiur. So that's just the case, according to Rashi. Now we have to see the last very important Rashi. So Rashi, the Havali Asei She'ina Shava B'Koil. Again, what was the Gemara's Kasha? Why is Be'ula L'Koyin Gadol any different than Mitzvah V'Adoimi? They're all Asei. So if Asei is a lower down level, so what's the difference? Like Rashi, no. She'ina Noyig El B'Koyin Gadol. Because the Asei, that a Koyin can only marry a Besula, is only by a Koyin Gadol. Aval Asei the Mitzvah V'Adoimi Noyig B'Chol HaKohol. But I say of Mitzvah and Adoimi, that applies to all people, and therefore it's on a higher level, and this is on a lower level. Okay, so far so good. Now we left off last week with a kasha from Rabbi Kiva Eiger, number 3. For Rabbi Kiva Eiger, 1 second, not so fast. The Gemara has 2 extremes. The Gemara has an extreme called Asay of Mitzvah and Adoimi, and the Gemara has an Asay of B'ulul Kohen Gadol. Obviously, Mitzvah and Adoimi is also to all men. All Jewish men are not allowed to marry Mitzvahs. Be'ula is only asa to a Kohen Gadol. So that's called Eina Shava B'Koil, and that's called Shava B'Koil. For Ektib Kivega, 1 second, you're forgetting a middle ground. For Ektib Kivega, what about Chavi Lavin? What about Almona to a Kohen Gadol? What about Grusha to a Kohen Hedget? That's not Shava B'Koil. A Yisrael's allowed to marry a divorced woman. A Kohen's allowed to marry a widowed woman. The only person who's not allowed to marry a widowed woman is a Kohen Gadol. The only one who's not allowed to marry a divorced woman is a Kohen Hedget. So why don't we say that's also not Shavah B'Koil? Ayel, tell me that's a lav. So who cares? Frankly, B'Kivega, what's the difference? Because at this point, Rabbi Akiva should hold that Aseis and Lavin are all the same. They're all learned that from the same place, that anytime you have an illicit relationship, the Vlad becomes a Mamzer. And if Rabbi Akiva's buying into this notion that it matters to whom the Asei affects, so why don't we go back to being a lav and say that the nafkemina would be Almon L'Kohen Gadol? I'll ask me, Almon L'Kohen Gadol is a lav? Yeah, but it's a lav Shein Shav B'Koil. And if it's a lav Shein Shav B'Koil, it's a lower level, and therefore it's a lower level, the Kedushin's Chal. Meaning, Frektim Kivega, once you're buying into the notion of things not being Shav B'Koil, why don't you apply it to a lav also? And therefore it should come out that Almon L'Kohen Gadol or Grusha to a Kohen Hedget should also be in a Shav B'Koil. And if it's definitely not Shavah B'Koil. Not every Jew is not allowed to marry a divorced woman. Majority of Jews can't marry a divorced woman. So, Frakti B'Kvega, let's read it inside, number 3. Frakti B'Kvega, Koshali. Holer Reb Akiva, Chayvi Lavin, Chayvi Esei, Mechad Koyal, of the Humamza. Reb Akiva learns from the same Pasuk that a Chayvi Esei and a Chayvi Lav produce a Mamza. The Chayvi Lavin, the Somach Loyav, a Mamza, the Loyigal Knafoviv. Because it says in the Pasuk, right next to Loyovi Mamza, it says Loyigal Knafoviv. The Hainu Anusas of it. That's someone that your father was Ma'anis. Shehu Chavi Lavin. That's a Chavi Lavin. Ulaman Domer Afba say Hainu Miribu Devov Delo Yigala. It's learned from the Vav. It's in the same Pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva got his opinion about Mamzerus that Chavi Lavin makes a Mamzer, Chavi Asay make a Mamzer from the same place. Kimavor calls Ebi Yvamis. Vim came, Fertim Kivager, Kimoy Daminam Ba Asay Debula the Koin Godl. Kivin the Kal Shane Shavabakoli Alfinon. And you just told me that because the Aseh of Kohen Gadol is not Shavah B'Koil, it's a lower level. And I don't compare it at to the other examples. And therefore it does not carry Mamzeris. Hachanami name alav in the Almon L'Kohen Gadol V'Grusha L'Hedget. So for Akib Kivegis, say the same thing by Almon L'Kohen Gadol and Grusha to a Kohen Hedget. Loy Nailif me Anusa Saviv. I can't compare it to the case of Anusa Saviv, Kivan the Kill, because it's Mekel Shein Shavah B'Koil. Meaning, ask Rabbi Kivega, once you're willing to accept the notion that situations that are not Shavah B'Koil are more lenient, so you have the same thing by Amon L'Kohen Gadol. Amon L'Kohen Gadol is not Shavah B'Koil. Again, you have to break it down. Why is Ein Shavah B'Koil a reason to be Mechalik? Very nice, it's Ein Shavah B'Koil. But whoever it is applicable to, it's very strongly applicable. Meaning, what does this mean that it's Ein Shavah B'Koil? It's some form of a Svara that since it doesn't apply to all Jews, it somehow defines the Isser as a lower level Isser. Meaning we measure Isserim by who they impact. And since this Isser only impacts a very small group of people, it must be it's not such a strong Chayve Isser. So therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, if you're going to follow...
Maybe you could say, Rabbi,
yeah.
You're going to say, Ein Shavah B'Koil by Anasei, which by definition is already a lesser degree than... Who said you could say Ein Shavah B'Koil by a lab?
Very good. So we're going to see Rabbeinu Kreskas actually answers like Yuchayim. He mamish makes his chiluk. That the whole concept of Ein Shavah B'Koil is only by Asei, is not by Lavin. Very good. That's going to be Rabbeinu Kreskas' teretz. But if you look at Rabbi Kiveger, look what he writes. Uminolon lechalik bin lav she'ein eshova b'kol la'asei she'ein eshova b'kol. Frankly, Rabbi Kiveger, mamish your point. Tanya Rabbi Kiveger, why should you be mechalik? What's the difference? Meaning Rabbi Kiveger is assuming that what? Once you're telling me there's a svara that things that are not applicable to all parties somehow become a lower level, then they should be true in the lav department, they should be true in the asei department. What's the difference? So Chaim is tying in, no, lav is different than asei. And again, Rabbeinu Kreska says that, I'm not belittling it. But Rabbi Kivega doesn't seem to take that into consideration. Kivega thinks that what should be the difference? If there's a concept that Nisurim are defined by whom they apply to, so then over here, we should say the same thing. That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. And Rabbi Kivega, it's a very strong kasha. Now Rabbi Kivega, because of this kasha, is mechadish an unbelievable chiddush, which the Rashash does not like at all, but Rabbi Kveger's mechadish the following. If you look over here, number 4, I took it from, Rabbi Kveger says the same thing in two places. He says in the Chedusha Rabbi Kveger over here, and he also says it in Rabbi Kveger on Mishnayis, in Meseches Yevamos. There I like the way, it, to me, it was just Mesader better for us. So he writes like this, says Rabbi Kveger, V'ula yeshloim ha-mizeh. Again, Rabbi Kveger is bothered with the kasha. That if you're willing to accept the idea that things that are not shavah b'koil are more lenient, so why is Amon L'Kohen Gadol not the same thing? Why is Grusha to a Kohen not considered Ein Shavah B'Koil? It's not Shavah B'Koil. It does not apply to all men. Only a Kohen can't marry a divorced woman. Only a Kohen Gadol can't marry a widowed woman. Why should that not make the criteria of Shavah B'Koil? So again, you could have answered, for at least the case of a Kohen, a Grusha, that Shavah B'Koil means in the case of Kohen Gadol is the most extreme. He's the only man in the world that has this. A Kohen Hedget at least already a whole population of men. Meaning, Avada, it's not all men, because Yisraelim and Levim could marry a Grusha, but at least you found me a case where there's a large group of men that have this Isser. As opposed to Kohen Gadol is the only one man in the world. But again, that I really think is really splitting hairs. You know, Ein Shavah B'Koil means it's not by everyone. This is not everyone. Kohen is not everyone. Kohen is not everyone. They're a small facet of Klai Yisrael, but they're not everyone. So Rabbi Kivega, because of this kasha, comes up the following Givaldi Gechidish. Says Rabbi Kivega, V'ula yeshloima b'zeh de'asei de'bu'ulu Kohen Gadol hirak oleho, olo v'loy oleho. Says Rabbi Kivega, we misunderstood the Gemara. Not us. Rashi read it like that. We learned the Gemara, and the Gemara says, she'ein eshava b'koil means because the asei doesn't apply to all men. Meaning all men have no problem of marrying a Be'ula, only Kohen Gadol. Says Rabbi Kivega, that's not pshat in the Gemara. Ein Shavah B'Koil means that the Asei, the prohibition of a Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol, who has that violation? Does the man or the woman? Says Rabbi Kivega, this is what the Gemara means. Ein Shavah B'Koil means that the woman has nothing, no Aveira wrong with her living with a Kohen Gadol. Meaning Rabbi Kivega says that if a Kohen Gadol decides he wants to marry a Be'ula, so he's in violation, she's not in violation. She's doing absolute, maybe she's a siyul advar avera, but as isser of be'ula besula, says Rabbi Kivega, she does not have. Zok to Rabbi Kivega, that's what it means, ein shavah b'koil. When a grusha marries a kohen hedget, she's in violation, and he's in violation. They're both in violation. Says Rabbi Kivega, this is ein shavah b'koil. You know why? Because this assay does not apply to her. That's how he learned the Gemara. Rabbi Kvega didn't learn the Gemara, Ein Eshava B'Kol to the men. Ein Eshava B'Kol, says Rabbi Kvega, was the women. Ein Eshava B'Kol means that this Isser does not go cross over to the other side of the equation, meaning the woman. That's Rabbi Kvega's pshat in the Gemara, which is a Gevaldige Chiddush. It comes out, according to Rabbi Kvega, that if a Ba'ula lives with a Kohen Gadol, the Ba'ula did nothing wrong. She's kosher v'yosher, nothing wrong. As opposed to when a Grusha lives with a Kohen Hedget, the Grusha is also in violation. Now, where did Rabbi Kvega get this from? So he explains. Says Rabbi Kvega, V'atam yesh loymar, demad huzur k'sheiris linasi lipsulim. Why is it that kosher people can't marry posel people? Yafina medich sivu lo yikochu. It says, lo yikochu. Lo yikachu is plural. It's going on both the man and the woman. However, it says Rabbi Kivega, but when it comes to besula, how did the Torah write it? Ki im besula me'amav yikach, he should take. But loshin yachid, it's in single terms. Mishum hachi hi ena muzheres. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, she taka has no iser. Ve'heicha de muzarim kehanim ve'lo yisraelim le'mikri kol kach ena shav be'kol. So what does it mean, Shav Bakar? Zaktim Kivegir means it doesn't apply to the man and the woman. So Amon L'Kohen Gadol, the Grusha, the Hedjit, that applies both man and woman. That's called Shav Bakar. But according to Kivegir, but when it comes to Bu'ula L'Kohen Gadol, that is only Shav for the man and not for the woman. Therefore, says Kivegir, that's why that's called Ein Shav Bakar. A whole new pshat. Now, do we understand, according to Kivegir, better what does it mean, Ein Shav Bakar? Maybe. Maybe now it makes a little bit more sense. I mean, until now we were learning that the assay is more kal because it doesn't apply to so many people. Our kasha was, who cares? But to the people that it applies to, it's as strong as ever. But according to Kvega, it's more geschmack. Because according to Kvega, even to the parties involved, it's not equal. It applies to the man and it doesn't apply to the woman. That's so strange. That taka makes the assay different. Meaning, we started off with a shtickle kasha. Why does it matter that the essay doesn't apply to all people? Who cares it doesn't apply to all people? But to the people that it does apply to, it's a strong essay. But according to Kivegir, it's much more geschmack. Because the essay is talking very strange. It doesn't apply to the, again, we're talking about the two parties that are involved in the act. The man and the woman, the two people involved in the act, he gets the issue, she doesn't. That is very strange. That's a red flag that there's something unique about this assay. The male, it's taka assay, shein eshav b'kol, and therefore, it's a lower level assay. So that taka would be very, very nice. Now,
according to the Abshat, if you have HSH by Ketana, so that's not Ein Eshava B'Kol, or HSH, that's a Nusa, that's not Ein Eshava B'Kol.
So the simple answer is going to have to be that it's Shaykh, because when he gets older, he will be Aser. Here, it's never going to change. So you're going to have to answer. And Echanami. You're going to have to answer that there, it's a technical problem, he's just not Baroin Shin, but MS, deep down, it really is Aser. As opposed to here, you know, nothing's going to change. This Ba'ula will never ever carry an Isser to live with a Kohen Gadol. Now, Rabbi Kivegir himself bavorns, I'm not sure why he doesn't think that Rashi's a raya against him, but he says there's a Taisvis in the Chagiga, that if you gimel, that's mashma, clearly not like him. Taisvis in the Chagiga says that Ba'ula the Kohen Gadol, she also has the Isser. Rabbi Kivegir doesn't like the Taisvis, but Lamaisa, many Achrayim, and Rabbi Kivegir himself points out that there's a Mefurisha Taisvis in Chagiga that says not like Rabbi Kivegir. Again, to me, the Pashtus of Rashi is not like Rabbi Kivegir. The way we learned the Gemara was not like Rabbi Kivegir's Mahalach. But this is a whole new Mahalach. That a whole new reading the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Eina Shava Bekoil, it doesn't mean because their prohibition doesn't apply to all Jews. It means that even in the two people that their prohibition does apply to, it doesn't apply equally because the man has the Issa while the woman does not have the Issa. Now, Rabbeinu Kreskas says like Chaim wanted to say. He has the same Kasha, and Rabbi Kivegir did not like this. He writes, V'davka ba'asei dekal, shonilon ben asei she'en eshav b'kol, asei she'en eshav b'kol. So that's Rabbeinu Kreskas. This whole svar of the Gemara, of ein eshav b'kol, only applies to an asei. Because an asei from the get-go is already a lower level. We know aseis are lower than lavin. You don't get malchus v'chavei asei. So then you could start telling me that since it's already weaker, and it's weakened again because it doesn't apply to all people, it makes a difference. But alav, which starting out of the gate is already more chomer, then loy shonilam, we don't differentiate between shava b'kol or ain't shava b'kol. The hilkach moida ba'amon l'koyin god av pishu hu loy she'ain shava b'kol. The ain't kedushin type is av pishu lav. Should probably be av pishu lav. She'ain shava b'kol the ain't kedushin type is more. So Rabbi Nekreskas is connected to Rabbi Kivega. And Kivega said he thinks there's no difference between asa and alav. Says Rabbi Nekreskas, not true. He thinks there is a difference, and Hitaka thinks I'm one of the Kohen Gadol is called Enishava B'Koil, because it doesn't apply to all people. But it doesn't matter. Says Rabbi Nekreskas, I don't care, because when you're in the Lav family, Enishava B'Koil doesn't play a role, and it makes somewhat sense also. What Rabbi Nekreskas is arguing, why? Because what we keep on asking ourselves this question: who cares that it's not Shava B'Koil? Who's getting me wrong? What does that matter? Not everything has to be for everyone. Like Kvega said, you know, Tumas Mesim doesn't apply to Yisrael. You know, tell me that's Ein Shava B'Koil. You have to really try to understand why this should make a difference. So says Rabbi Nekreskas, good, the Gemara says it by an Aseh. Aseh is already more Mekel. But something like a lab, which is Chomer from the get-go, Mechates, he should make such differentiations. So again, Rabbi Kvega, Bavorn, this Rabbi Nekreskas, rejected it without any explanation, but Rabbi Nekreskas is very clear on his Mahalach. So again, we have two Mahalachim how to read the Gemara. When the Gemara answered, "Asei she'ene shav b'kirl," does that mean because it doesn't apply to all people, or does that mean it doesn't apply to the woman herself? Then we have a mahalach over here from Reb Aaron. In Pshat V'Iyan, in Moshe Sternbach Sefer, he quotes a mahalach from a shtickel toy from Reb Aaron. And we don't say over enough Reb Aaron's here, because Reb Aaron's pieces are very, very complicated. And we said over a couple, we got to said over a couple of ha'aris from Reb Aaron a few weeks ago. Reb Aaron's shtickels are so, so deep. Very, very tiefish tickles. Again, he doesn't have necessarily an arm parak either, but Reb Aaron's Torah is always very, very, very insightful. So he quotes a shtickle Torah from Reb Aaron Kotler like this. He writes, He's going back to our original question. What constitutes Shavu B'Koil? Is Almon L'Koyin Gadol called Shavu B'Koil? So Rabbi Kivega thought Almon L'Koyin Gadol is also Ein Shavu B'Koil. Why? Because it doesn't apply to all men. So Dr. Moshe Sternbach, Amon L'Koyin Gadol Havi Yisra Shav B'Kol, Ki Noig B'Chol Anoshim. L'mais, it applies to all women. What does that mean? He writes over there, Ober Agayin Reb Aaron Kotler, and Reb Aaron Kotler explained, I don't know where Moshe Sternbach met up with Reb Aaron Kotler, I'm not sure, because Moshe Sternbach was always in South Africa, when Reb Aaron was in America. I don't know if they ever crossed paths, but okay. Torah spreads. So he says over from Reb Aaron, he doesn't say where he got this from Reb Aaron, but he says it over B'Shem Reb Aaron. That what? Listen to this way of looking at things. The avsh ain't a noig b'chol anoshim. You're right. Not all women have an iser to marry. Not all women have an iser to marry a kohen gadol. That a yisrael ain't a muzer al almana. Again, a Jewish man is allowed to marry an almana. Mikomokum ain't halav kal machmaze. Says Reb Aaron, that does not bring down the lav. She ain't a shav b'koil. The avsh loyma the adaraba ain't a kal rak lehepoch. Hasibush ene noig bom he mishum chisorin bikidushasam veloy mishum de halav kal. Says Reb Aaron, why is it that an almona is allowed to marry a Yisrael? It's because be'etzem al almona, it's not a din. Let's go backwards. Is it a din in the almona, or is it a din in the man she's trying to marry? Says Reb Aaron, you can make the argument that maybe an almona can't marry. Almana can't marry anyone who is a higher level Jew. Maybe that's the way you have to look at it. It's not the pshat an Almana can't marry Kohen. An Almana can't marry any Jew that's on a high level. Yisrael are not on high levels. Meaning, be'etzim what the Torah asked was not the din that Almana can't marry Kohen. The Torah said Almana can't marry any Jew that is on a higher level, on a Kedushadika level. Yisrael and Levim are not on that level. But he writes, Again, the lav of Almana is the same lav. And Almana can't marry anyone that has high levels of Kedusha. That's Shava B'Koil. Depends how you look at it. Meaning, if you're looking at mitzad that angle, says Reb Aaron, then Avadit applies to all people. widowed women cannot marry any men that have exalted levels of Kedusha. You grab don't have an exalted level of Kedusha. Okay, so you're not included. But Dr. Baron, Avol Benoshim, yeah? Anyone? Okay, but Dr. Baron, Avol Benoshim, Im Einoi B'chol Hanoshim, Akochach Lav Zekil. The Benoshim Ein Afkimina Ben Zulizu. But says the Baron, but if you're going to start, meaning, here we're saying all women, all divorced women are the same. They can't marry exalted men. But now by your differentiating between a basula and a ba'ula, you're differentiating in the women's gender themselves. This woman could, this woman can't. That's already ain't a shava b'ko. So the way Aaron wanted to look at it is, look at it mitzad the women, don't look at it mitzad the men. If you look at it mitzad the women, says Reb Aaron, so then Amon of the Kohen Gadol is taka shava b'ko. Because every almana in the world is not allowed to marry a man that has an exalted level of Kedusha. Fine. That's the rules. Aye, so why is an almana allowed to marry? Because you're nishkin exalted. You're not special. But if you were to be special, every almana across the board would not be allowed to marry special men. But now you're telling me now what? Every girl is not allowed to marry? Oh, but only every girl that has Basulim versus every girl that's already splitting. That's not Shavu B'Kohen. So maybe that's why he wanted to be mechalik between the two. So Memel, that's why you look at, you want to tell me that the Isra of Be'ula the Kohen Gadol, that's Taka Shav B'chol, Ki Noig B'chol Hanoshim. It's true by all women. Okay, so this is an interesting way of having... Yeah.
I know it came a little late. Does anyone say that Ein Hashavah B'Kol, meaning this is within Kohanim, not with all Jews, meaning this is Isser Kahuna that's not Shavah by all Kohanim?
So Kvegim sounded something along those lines that maybe that's a way of learning. We mentioned that in this earlier that you could have learned the Gemara like that. And Kvegim didn't go for it. But Enachanami, I think that's one way one could have learned the Gemara. Enachanami. So this is a whole new way of looking at it. Looking at mitzad the woman versus looking at mitzad the man. Okay. I really want, this is from last week's share. I really wanted to wrap it up and go weiter. But let's go back.
Does anybody argue with the Rashi on that the Bula is a Biyash Lavidarka?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that right now. Now I want to get back to that. So let's get back to this very, very important Rashi.
You would think the Gemara would say something.
Good. The Gemara is very, very vague over here. So let's deal with this Rashi now. Okay, that's a perfect time to get us back into this Rashi. So let's get back to Rashi for a second. Rashi had a Kasha. Frek Rashi Akasha, she's a Zoyna. So Rashi had a kasha, she's a Zoyna. Rashi says she's not a Zoyna. Because Pona, again, we have a very strange case in the Gemara. We're talking about a woman who's a Ba'ula, but she still has Basulim, and she's single. How do you come up with that configuration? So Rashi says, she must have lived with a Pona. She was a single girl. She lived with a boy. They lived together, Shalei Kedarka. Her Basulim are intact, but she's still called a Ba'ula. That's the case. For Rashi Akasha, why isn't she a Zoyna? So Rashi, you don't become a Zoyna with Bia. You don't become a Zoyna when you're living with a man that's not Aser to you. Now, the Mishnah L'Melech over here is a very long Mishnah L'Melech. And Hilchos Esuri Bia. I put only a couple pieces of it on. But let's see the first piece, 6b. He starts off right away, Pshat and Rashi. He says, V'ra'isi l'Rashi b'roish perike l'onayris ola dahiyah minon ikka b'inayi b'ula k'ingodol shepira she'ein z'alav da'almonus v'gerishin. He quotes our entire Rashi. We'll just pick up where he starts. V'yesh l'daktik. About three lines in. Yesh l'daktik. Kled the Mishnah l'malach. Imashu hukshu l'Rashi da'riyesh kan lav d'zoyno. The Rashi had a kasha. I frek Rashi, she's a zoyno. The Mishnah l'malach has two ways of understanding Rashi. Why do we think she's a zoyno? Is she a zoyna before the Kohen Gadol ever touched her? Or she becomes a zoyna because the Kohen Gadol touched her? Now the Kohen Gadol lived with her, he forced himself on her. Now she becomes a zoyna. And now, you're asking, can the Kohen Gadol marry her to the extent that he has to pay knas? Oh, now she's a zoyna. Where was the question of zoyna brought up at Klez Mishnah Lamelech? When Rashi had a kasha, this woman is a zoyna. Why? Was she a zoyna because of what happened to her before she met the Kohen Gadol? Or was she a zoyna because of what the Kohen Gadol did to her? What gave her that Zoyna status? So says the Mishnah L'Melech, Yesh L'daktik, Imashah Hukshah L'Rashi Darei Yesh Kan Lav D'Zoyna Mishun Bia D'Koyin Gadol Hu D'Koshalei. Was your question because now that the Koyin Gadol lived with her B'Isser, right, because she's a Ba'ula. So whenever you have an Isser relationship, now this, keep in mind, is it possible that a woman could become a Ba'ula, a Zoyna, as an Oynas? That's something we're going to talk about Belineda later. Big machloikis mishainim. Is it possible that you have a girl walking down the street minding her own business, an awful person jumps on top of her, ma'anaser, and now she becomes a zayna for the rest of her life? Does that seem fair? That a girl can become a zayna with a bia kineged her ratzon? It doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound right. That in the Jewish law, that girl would be plagued a zayna and not be able to marry a kohen for the rest of her life because some guy decided to force himself on her.
Okay. Oh, we see that by a physician with Cohen.
Good. We'll talk about it. We'll see. It's probably Machloikis Rishonim, but we'll come back to it. So the Mishnah Melech wants to know, when Rashi's bothered with the kasha that this girl's a Zayna, why is she a Zayna? Is she a Zayna because the Kohen Gadol was boil her, and that Isser of a Kohen Gadol to Bula made her a Zayna? Or the kasha was, no, she became a zayna when she lived with, when she was a single girl and she met up with a single boy. They lived together. That bia made her a zayna. Was that the kasha? Not clear from Rashi. So says the Mishnah Melech. Rashi was not bothered that she's a zayna because of what the Kohen Gadol did to her. She was only be a zayna because of what happened before the Kohen Gadol walked onto the scene. This is something we spoke about way back at the beginning of the parak. When do we measure if the Kohen Gadol can marry her? Before he lives with her or after he lives with her? After the Kohen Gadol was ma'anaser, now she becomes a Zayna. And now he can't marry her because of the love of Zayna. But Zok the Mishnah Melech, that's not how we gauge it. We gauge her status before the Kohen Gadol touched her. Before the Kohen Gadol was ma'anisir, he would have been able to marry her because she was not a zayna because she was a panal by pnuya. Aye, now that he was ma'anisir, now he turned into a zayna. That's not the way we measure it. So therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, Avul b'shas bia hayu la bahavaya el demachmas bia zu ein la bahavaya loy mimatina lo mikra de loy sili isha. Says the Mishnah Melech, that does not affect the veloy sili isha. The veloy sili isha is dependent upon before the Kohen Gadol started. If before the Kohen Gadol started with this woman, he could have married her, so then he is considered Veloy Silisha. We don't look at it, what's her status after he lived with her. Yeah, in Chanami. After he forced himself on her, she becomes a Zayna. And therefore he can't marry a Zayna, but we don't measure it then, we measure it before. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Dem loy tema hachi hikshi aliba de Rashi. Da ba'ula zu shenesna Kohen Gadol harin ischala. Shrei nevala lepsuli kuhuna. Vim kein ariyesh kan lav de chalala. His writer. After they live together, she becomes a chalala. Because she lives with a Isser Kahuna. So how can you tell me you're allowed to get married? So says the Shidim Mekubet, says the Mishnah Melech, the yardstick of measuring is not after they live together. It's before they're together. Before they're together, again, this case, before the Kohen Gadol touched this girl, would he have been able to marry her? The answer is yes. Because she was not a Zayna. Because whatever she did with the boy before did not render her a Zayna. Because Panal Boa Pnuya does not make a Zayna. I frak the Mishnah Melech. Now she's definitely a Zayna. And Echanami, now she is a Zayna. When the Kohen lived with her, he turned her into a Zayna. But that's not the way we measure it. We measure it from beforehand. Fine. Rashi told us that this girl is not a Zayna. Because she was a Pana Abala Pnuya, and a Pana Abala Pnuya only Rebbe Eliezer holds makes you a Zayna. And we accepted Rashi and we moved on. For fact, the Taisus Rush number 7, Pirish Rashi, Pu'ula Shalai Kedarka, the case over here is that she's a Pu'ula Shalai Kedarka, the Besuli, she has to still be a Besuli of a Shaykh Baknas. Vein Hachi, typically the Zayni, so aye, she's a Zayna. Layashkan Tana, the Svile Pana Abala Pnuya, so Zayna, Ella Rebbe Lazar, Veles El Chosakavase. The Hekshu Rebbe Yechiel mi Paris. Now, who was Rabbi Chiyomi Paris? And why was he so famous? Besides the fact that he lived in Paris, Rabbi Chiyomi Paris was the Rebbe of the Maram Rutenberg, and he had a yeshiva in Paris of 300 Bachrim. But he's even more famous for something that's going to happen in Parshas, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. What happens in Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas? We know the Magen Avraham brings down, the last Magen Avraham is in Tov Kuf Pei, Hilchas Tainis. The Magen Avraham brings down that in the year 1240, on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, in the city of France, there was a massive burning of 24 wagons of the Gemara, which historians say equaled 10,000 handwritten manuscripts of Gemara
that
were burned.
The fast of Chaf Sivan?
That's not Chaf Sivan. Chaf Sivan is something else. I'm going to talk about that tonight in my shir. You'll get that later tonight, Blin Adam Michael. Chaf Sivan. This is going to be the fast of Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. Magen Avraham brings it down. This was the fast because on June 6th, in the year 1240, in France, the King Louis burnt 24,000 wagons of Gemara, which equals today 10,000 manuscripts. And that was obviously the same spot where the Rambam's Mar Nevuchim was burnt, we all know. And that became a tainus. Now, why is this important to us? Because who was the person that caused this all to happen? A Jew named Nicholas Donin. Nicholas Donin was a Talmud of Rabbi Chiel miParis. And he went so far off the derech, where he went to the Christian church and told the church, you know, we know you guys want to know what's going on in the Gemara. I'll translate the Gemara for you, and I'll tell you all the hidden secrets that are in the Gemara. And he convinced the Pope to ban and to confiscate all the Gemara. And Louis, Meshuggah, King Louis, he actually listened. And they banned the Gemara, they collected all the Gemaras. And then this Nicholas Donin debated his Rebbe, Rebbe Chiel miParis. And they debated Judaism versus Christianity. This guy Nicholas was a Talmud of Rebbe Chiel miParis. And they debated, and whenever Jews debate Christians, the Jews win, and then they always lose anyways. Even when they win the debate, they lose the debate. And ultimately on that day was when the 24 wagons were burnt. It was and the time, this was always Nikva, on Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas. We'll talk maybe why it is that way. But this was Rebbe Chiel miParis. It was his Talmud. This Nicholas Donin, who was the one who went to the Pope and told the Pope about all the dirty stuff that's in the Gemara, and I'll translate it for you, which led ultimately to the burning, and ultimately was really, this is the beginning of Jews leaving France, which really takes us to Chafsivan, which is why Jews predominantly left Western Europe, moved to Eastern Europe, and that's why Jews ended up in Poland and Ukraine, which takes us to Tachvatat, which we'll have to talk about at a different time. But this is the famous Rebbe Chiel miParis. He was the Rebbe of the Maram Meirutenberg. So Rebbe Chiel miParis, he died just in 1286. That's when he died. In any case, he has a Gevaldik Akasha. I had to throw in that little bit of historical tidbit. So Frank Rebbe Chiel miParis. The Hikshe Rebbe Chiel miParis. V'ahach sugya d'hoch alibet Rebbe Akiva. Frank Rebbe Chiel miParis. One second. Rashi did not tell you the whole story. What did Rashi tell you? There's only one sheet in the Gemara that holds Pana Abba Pnei makes a Zayna, and that's Rebbe Eliezer, and we don't hold like Rebbe Eliezer. What are you talking about? If you look up at the Gemara over there, you'll see, you know who else holds like Rebbe Elazar? Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva also holds like Rebbe Elazar in Maseches Sanhedrin. And he holds that Pana Abba Pnei does make a Zayna. Who's our Gemara going in? Rebbe Akiva. So Frek Rebbe Chiel, what are you talking about? It's only Rebbe Eliezer and he's a Das Yachid. Rebbe Akiva holds like that Das Yachid. And our whole Gemara is in Rebbe Akiva's world. So Rebbe Akiva holds that Pana Abba Pnei makes a Zayna. So then this girl's a Zayna. So if she's a Zayna, she's alive to the Kohen Gadol. So what's going on over here? So Frek Rebbe Chiel miParis. So Frek Rebbe Chiel, how could Rashi make it sound like that no one holds like Rebbe Eliezer, that Pana Abba Pnuya Vlad Zayna, the Isha Zayna? Rebbe Akiva holds like that, and Rebbe Akiva is the Baal HaMemra in our Gemara. So Rebbe Akiva holds that Pana Abba Pnuya makes a Zayna, so then we have a big problem on our hands. It's not an Isra Asay anymore, it's now a Lav of Zayna. As I Frek...
Rabbi, didn't...
Yeah.
Didn't we say before that according to Rebbe Akiva, he holds the Vlad as a Mamzer?
No, but over here we're talking about the Isha being a Zayna. We're trying to make it now that this woman to the Kohen Gadol has Tefisas Kedushin. So the Gemara answered, he only has an Isra Asay to her. So Isra Asay.
Didn't we say before that anytime you live B'Yisr, anytime there's an illicit relationship, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Vlad's a Mamzer. Right. Here it's not a Mamzer.
Right, the Gemara said, but that's only if it's not an Asay She'ein Eshava B'Kol. So since Be'ula is an Asay She'ein Eshava B'Kol, it's a lower level Isra, it doesn't produce Mamzeris. So Rashi's kashua, she's not just an Asay, she's a Lav designer. This woman has a lav on her head also, because now she's a Zayna. So Rashi says, no, she's not a Zayna, because we don't hold like Rebbe Eliezer. Frank Rebbe Chiel, what do you mean? Rebbe Akiva holds like Rebbe Eliezer. So according to Rebbe Akiva, she's a Zayna. So if she's a Zayna, she's a lav. If she's a lav, there's no Tefisas Kedushin. So if there's no Tefisas Kedushin, it's not Veloy Sealisha. So the Teis Rosh gives a very interesting answer, which the Bach also says on the side of our Gemara. The I don't know if Rebbe Chiel answers, the Rosh answers it. The Tirut, the Hocha Mayu Biktana Shemiano. The lekaznos. The Tosfos Rosh says, no, you got the case wrong. Rashi learned the case was, you have a girl who lived with a boy, they lived shalei kedarka, and she's not a zayna because it's pana abale pnuya. Says the Tosfos Rosh, that's not the case. The case was, you have a girl who was married off by her mother and her brothers, and she was married legitimately. And for whatever reason, they never had Bia Kedarka. They only had Bia Shalai Kedarka. Not with a single guy, with her husband. So the question is, so what's her status now? Then she got older, she did Mion. Mion means she's able to say, I don't want the marriage. So now she's a single cookie again. She's a single girl. So that's how you have the case, says the Taisir Rush, where she was married off by her mother and her brothers under the context of marriage. She never consummated the marriage, she only had Bia Shalai Kedarka. And now she's a free bird because she did Mion. So that's how you have a case of a Ba'ula to a Kohen Gadol.
And all this happened within a 6-month period of time?
Exactly. Okay, now the Katana thing happened when she was younger. And then she was then asked by the Kohen Gadol during the 6th period of time. When she became 12, she was able to annul her marriage. And within those 6 months, the Kohen Gadol raped her also. Right, exactly. Very busy 6 months. Now, what's the obvious kasha someone's going to ask me on this chat? What's the case? According to the Taisir Rosh, she was married to a man, a legitimate marriage, and she was married to him, but they never consummated the marriage with Bia Kedarkoi. They only had Bia Shalai Kedarkoi. And then the marriage became annulled, and now she's considered a Ba'ula, but she's still a Basula, and she's not considered a Zoyna. Frek the Rashash, what are you talking about? The Gemara tells us that when the husband lives with his wife, Bia Shalai Kedarka, he gives her a status of a Ba'ula. We had this many times already. So Frek the Rashash in number 8, Habach b'hagosav kosav da'af l'Reb Eliezer, Mishkachas la b'ma'enes, the Bach on the side of the Gemara gives the same answer as this Taisis Arash. That the case is not where the girl lived with a boy illicitly. She did nothing wrong. She was 8-year-old. Her parents married her off to a guy. They were married. The guy never lived with her with Besulim. He only did Bia Shalai Kedarka. And then she annulled the marriage. So Frek the Rashash, V'li Nira de Mema'enes, Afilu Loi Bole Elo Shalai Kedarka, Shuv Ein Leknas. There still shouldn't be Knas. Why? De Baal Oisa Oisa B'ula Shalai Kedarka, Afilu Shalai Kedarka. The Gemara says in Kedushin that when a husband lives with his own wife, Shalai Kedarka, he gives her a status of a Ba'ula. So therefore, Frek the Rashash, how can this pshat fly? Again, what was the chap of this pshat?
Maybe that's only by a Daraisa marriage. This is the Rabbanan marriage.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that, hopefully. Oh, good. So that's Tamazei Akasha. Seth is asking something which Gershon Edelstein, who I just saw in Nizu Rufu Shlema, who was taken to the hospital on Erev Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. He has a similar kasha to what Seth is getting to, that their whole marriage is only a marriage to Rabbanan. It's a very watered down marriage. Meaning, mid Daraisa, you can argue that this girl was actually living in somewhat as a Zayna. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit in a few minutes, I hope. But again, what's the Rashash's kasha? Frag the Rashash, what did you gain by this pshat? You're trying to set up the case that the girl was not acting inappropriately, and therefore she doesn't become a Zayna. Good! So her parents married her off at 8, she lived with the guy for 4 years, Shalai Kedarka, then she annuls the marriage, then the Kohen Gadol ma'anes her. Frek the Rashash, the Gemara said that when a husband lives with his wife in a context of marriage, in a Shalai Kedarka way, he makes her a Ba'ula. So her first husband made her a Ba'ula. So if she's now a Ba'ula, what are you telling me? We're talking about a case where she's a Basula. What do you mean? She's a Ba'ula. She doesn't get Knas anymore. Because her status, her title is now Ba'ula. Because her husband made her into a Ba'ula.
So yeah, but she still has
Basula. Zok Chsam Sofer number 9, Chsam Sofer, which we saw many times already, says the Chsam Sofer, but this is the exception. Ein achinami, the husband has an ability to change her into a status of a Ba'ula, but not with regard to Knas. Why, says the Chsam Sofer? He says, Umukilo be'erusin v'afilu loy b'nesu v'nivlo shekadarker. Question goes, the nivlo afilu ay de bala. Avo pi de ledina oisa oisa b'ula shloy kadarker. Mikomokam lin knas adayin b'sula hi. The kivan shezeh ma'anis pogum gufa akoponim shei besula hoisa akoponim mimokem besula. So the Chasam Sofer says, like Mamish like Stewie said, ein achanami. In other areas of halacha, when a husband lives with his wife shalei kedarka, he gives her a status of a bula with regard to other dinim, not with regard to dinei knosis. Since dinei knosis are totally in a physical besulim, so lamaisa her physical besulim are still intact, and therefore tainid the Chasam Sofer. So even though Eina Chanami, she lived with her husband, and she got the din of a Ba'ula, not with regard to Besulim. So therefore, we so far have 2 Mahalchim now in the Sugya, to what the case is. According to Rashi, the case is that she lived with a man before she met the Kohen, and that was a Pana Abala Pnuya. While according to the Tais Rosh, the case was she was married. She did nothing wrong. She was completely married to the first guy. And the marriage became bottle because of Mion. Mion is the right for her to undo the marriage. I, Frekta Rashash, if she was lived Sholei Kedaka with her husband, that makes her Ba'ula. If she's a Ba'ula, she doesn't get Knas as a Chlem Sofer. Not so. I just want to finish off with Reb Gershon Edelstein's Ha'ara because he needs a Refuah Shleima, so this should be his chus for him. He writes in number 10, L'chari Yesh L'Havin. Da Kolei Ishos B'ma'enis Ein Elamid Rabbanan. Frekta Gershon, 1 second. What did you gain by learning like the Tais Rosh? We're trying to avoid that this girl lived with someone in sin before she met the Kohen Gadol. So you told me it's not sin because she was married to him with Mion. Frektiv Gershon, what do you mean? Do kolayishas b'ma'enis ein alam adrabbanon. Vimkin amaylo have his name. Midrais. Frektiv Gershon, the whole Mion is only a marriage on the drabbanon level. As far as Hashem's concerned, these two people are not married. So as far as the Torah is concerned, these two people are not married. So imkain, she lived with a man not in the context of marriage. So if she lived with a man not in the context of marriage, that's a Zayna. So what did you gain by answering it was Mion? The whole teretz of Mion was supposed to make it that now the two people are not living in sin. But for Ektiv Gershon, they're still living in sin. Because their whole marriage is only a rabbinic invention. So he answers the teretz that's running through all our minds. The answer is that since the Rabbonon gave validity to such a marriage, we don't look at the marriage as it really is a znos. Even though, as far as Hashem is concerned, this marriage has no validity. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael Berliner, next week, looking forward to being back in person and learning together. Mitzvah Hashem, this week, Tuesday night, we'll have the Halacha Shir, as well as Wednesday night, the Parsha Shir. And again, looking forward to seeing everyone in person, live, together. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.